You can be seated. You know, what we really need is a song from God. And we need the song of the Lamb, the one that can really help us. When you get the song of the Lamb in your heart, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, you still feel the wonderful inspiration of Christ, and you still feel like living and doing something for God. No matter how crushing an experience you might have, no matter what the weights of life are, if you've got the song of the Lamb in your heart, you still feel like doing something for Jesus. It's like Paul the Apostle, he made the statement one time. He said, "In my heart there is continual heaviness, continual sorrow. But nevertheless," he said, "I still have the song of the Lamb in my heart. Still ready to do something for Christ." I'm thankful to see every one of you out tonight to be with us. Appreciate all of you that have come so far to be with us. And those that are here around Olive Branch in the area, out of Humboldt, Tennessee, and out of Polk, Mississippi, and the different places that you've come from to be with us, we really appreciate you being here with us, especially those that have come out of Little Bethlehem to be with us over in Monroe, Georgia. Appreciate you traveling so far. I know it's real dangerous, but we're thankful that you could be here. And I can barely see past the lighted tail that Brother Dan's here tonight. I just happened to catch a glimpse of him back there. I got a letter from him a few days ago. I wondered where he was, and it really surprised me to see him here in the meeting tonight. But I praise God for that. I appreciate so much having Dan here with us and the others coming to be with us. The Lord is good. How many of you believe that God is good? Let me see your hand if you believe that God's good.
Praise the Lord.
Appreciate Brother John opening the church to us that we could come here and minister. I'd like to take just a minute and talk with you, just say a few things before we start ministering. I'm real grateful to be here. I'm real thankful to be here. John opened the church to us, and we're here for the glory of God. You know, we don't solicit meetings. God has blessed us in our lifetime, and we have never, that I ever remember, we have never solicited meetings, never in our entire ministry. And the Lord has continually opened doors to us and for us around the nation and throughout the different parts of the world. We've been able to travel long distances as far as Norway, the land of the midnight sun, over into Palestine and over into the islands and over into Europe. God has blessed us in a great, wonderful way. We're fixing to go over into Africa and India if the Lord will permit. Unless the Lord should see fit, we are planning to go there because we're getting a lot of mail out of those areas, and our literature is continually going into those places. Bibles, we're sending Bibles into those places, and those people rejoice because they receive the Word of God. I wish you could just read some of the letters. The letters are so stirring where they receive a Bible. They'll say things like, you know, if I don't knock on your door, then I don't know whose door to knock on, Brother Pike. Will you please send me the Word of God? And so then we endeavor to send them the wonderful Word of God. I'd like for you to pray for us that we can continue on in our ministry and in our work for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for you people here at Olive Branch all the time. Pray for John and Sister Lane and the others. And we pray for you. You're always in our heart and always in our prayers. And we're always praying for you that God will help you and strengthen you in your wonderful walk with Jesus. You know, there's a reward at the end of the way that is so great. We don't want to make any mistakes and step to the side. We want to hold on until the end. The Bible teaches to hold fast your crown. Don't let any man take it from you. For he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So hold on till you reach the end. Don't give up now. You may have problems, you may have heartaches, you may have sorrows. But all of that is just part of this life and part of your pilgrimage here. But you hold on anyway. No matter what kind of thoughts you have or feelings you have, Don't yield your faith to your feelings or to your thoughts. No matter what kind of frustration life offers you, don't give up. Don't lay your faith aside. The Bible tells us to cast not away our faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Hold fast until the end, and you'll receive a full reward. We're grateful tonight because we can be here. We're grateful for what little God is helping us to do. And Paul said, if I boast, I'll boast in Christ. And I was doing a little boasting last night. We had prayed that God would bless us with a little help along the way with our printing. And we had taken a step by faith a day or two ago. We had stepped out by faith and wrote a couple of three checks that amounted to about $9,000. And we didn't have any money. And you say, no, Brother Pike, you can't write checks like that. Well, I can. Now, you might not, but I can. I've been doing it for many years. But now, I advise you not to do it, you know, unless you write them by faith. Some fellow said one time you write checks by faith. The banker don't know nothing about that. Oh, yes, he does. If you write them by faith, they work just exactly right. He's just as proud of them as you are. But now, if you write some and you think you wrote them by faith, or you had some wild notion, the banker isn't going to understand that kind of check. But we've wrote many of them by faith, and God's always taken care of them. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, they've amounted to many hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the Lord has met every one of them. But in this particular instance, we wrote the checks, and we didn't have any money, but I claimed a press that's out in Dallas and picked up a little book and saw a press that was for sale, and the man wanted to exchange the press for a DC-3, which is a huge airplane. Well, we didn't have a DC-3, but we did have faith. So we claimed the faith, you know, that we had and claimed the press by that faith, and we just wrote a check for it. And we sent that check out there, and I said, now, Lord, I'm sending the check, and we're flying the men out to Dallas to pick up that press. And I'm expecting you to take care of it on the other end. I took care of it on my end.
Praise the Lord.
I offered the faith and wrote the check. Now you take care of it on the other end. It's your job to supply the funds. So on the other end, everything was beautifully taken care of. And by night, I had to have $9,000. And by night, the last $1,000 appeared. So the $9,000 was well taken care of. Whereas we have to give $20,000 for the press. And that was a good price. He cut it down from the price he wanted to $20,000. And he let us have it for $20,000. And God graciously worked everything out. Now, he called back and said the press was worth a great deal more than $20,000. So it must be about $50,000 to $100,000 to $125,000 press. It's about 40 feet long, about 4.5 feet wide, about 6 feet high, and it will do 4 colors of printing and also do the folding and do the cutting and doing the putting together of the magazine. So, or the booklets, you just put the literature in on this end as paper and take it out on the other end as a finished product. So that's a real blessing to us. And we praise God for it. So we were boasting a little bit in God about what He had done for us. And we're so thankful because the printing operation we have now, even though it's real efficient, and some good machinery, yet we've outgrown it to the extent that we need far more. Our TV outreach, our radio outreach, and our literature outreach is growing, and we need the blessings of the Lord upon it. We need Him to help us. And we need your prayers. We want you to pray with us that God will help us and strengthen us in what we're trying to do, because we're trying to reach the world for Christ. Our brother Mitch was telling me that we're about 35 or 40 foreign languages, and we're still seeking more foreign languages that we might reach into all the world for a witness for the Lord Jesus. I say this, you know, let's pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. You know, you really need the spirit of revelation. Paul said, pray that God will grant that spirit unto you. Now, you may have the spirit of Christ, but you need the spirit of revelation that we may understand better the things that God is doing and know that He loves us and understand the wonderful secrets of God. Now, we come here, we're here by revelation. You know, Paul, after about 3 years of better out in the Arabian desert, he said, I went up to visit with Peter, by revelation. A lot of people that don't understand revelation, they wouldn't know what Paul was saying. But we believe in revelation, and we are here at Olive Branch by revelation. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, don't all preachers go to places by revelation? No. A lot of preachers solicit their meetings, and they schedule their meetings, and they have a routine where they go wherever they can get money or wherever they can get fame or popularity or whatever they need, mostly money. And they don't know too much about revelation nor the leading of God when it comes to being led by the Spirit. Whereas there are some that are led by the Spirit just like I'm led by the Spirit. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we are here by revelation. We went to numbers of places by spiritual revelation. And we are here at Olive Branch by spiritual revelation. Which means that this meeting is not just another meeting. When you have a meeting by revelation, it is not just another meeting. You may see lots of meetings, a lot of tent meetings, and a lot of auditorium meetings, a lot of meetings in churches. We've had some of all kind, but you know, there's a world of difference when you have a meeting by spiritual revelation. If you go to a place by spiritual revelation, that means that God has directly sent you to that area and that it has a great spiritual significance or bearing concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then being here tonight, these few nights that we're going to be here, being here these nights, it has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you knew tonight what it had to do with in the coming of the Lord, you'd certainly be stirred tonight. I made the statement last night, and I'll make it again tonight, that if the people of Olive Branch in this area, the sinner people, now not the Christian nor religious people, take the religious people out altogether, take the Christians out altogether, just all of the religious people, take them out, and just think about the sinner. You know, you can't hardly get sinners out to church anymore. But if they knew what this meeting was, there wouldn't be enough room in this building for the sinners. Now, not religious people, I'm talking about sinners. There wouldn't be enough room. There'd be so many sinners in here, and there wouldn't be enough room out on the grounds and in this area around here to park the cars of the sinners and the wicked people. So you could imagine what would happen if the religious and the Christian people knew what was taking place. If the religious and the Christian people knew what was taking place, they'd be coming, if they could get here, they'd be coming from the foreign countries to get here. As a matter of fact, some of them in the foreign countries are hearing about our work over in Bethlehem, and they're coming anyway. They're already coming in and out. And we received a letter not too long ago from a brother over in Israel, over in the town of Little Bethlehem, over in Palestine. And he said, if Brother Pike don't hurry and come over here, I'm coming over there. So they are really being stirred about what is happening. And this thing here at Olive Branch is a great, mighty thing that's taking place. And I hope that you can understand and get your eyes open to see the coming of the Lord. I'm going to say just a few more words, and then I'm going to read some to you. But you know, it's time, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we really got down to business with God. Don't you agree? Amen. It's time that we realize that we are people that are about to go into another world. And we are about to stand before the Almighty God. I think most of you can perceive that by the Iranian crisis and the different things that's taking place. But we are about to stand before God. And we are right on the verge of world catastrophe. That thing in Iran is the beginning of the Third World War, which will be the end of mankind, except for those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the coming of the Lord is so close. Now you would say, some would say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that you know that. But the Bible teaches that we know that. Now the Bible teaches that they that are in darkness and the wicked don't know that. They can't understand that. For the Bible teaches the wicked shall not see when good cometh. But we're not children of the night. We're children of the day. And the Bible teaches that we shall know when that time is nigh, even at the door. We'll know when that day is coming, that it won't come upon us unaware. We know. We're watching for it. We know that something is about to happen. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the wonderful presence of God. I feel it. It's so wonderful to be here tonight and feel His lovely presence. It is a great hour. I think that most of you will agree that it is a great hour. I'd like to read just a little bit from the book of St. Luke, the 13th chapter, and the 24th verse. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. This sounds like a tight fit, don't it?
Amen.
I usually read quite a bit of scripture. I hardly ever fail to read under a chapter, sometimes two or three chapters, because people don't read their Bibles much at home. But come to me tonight to read this one verse here, and to leave it like that, that you can think on that tonight. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter in. The Bible teaches that many people are going to make an effort to enter in at that gate, and they're not going to be able. You know, we've got it in our mind that as long as we make an effort, that we're going to be able to enter in. But Jesus said, it's not going to be that easy. I want you to stand with me now as we pray. Hallelujah, Father, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus. By your Spirit tonight, Father, pour out of your mighty blessing and of the powers of the Holy Ghost tonight. Father, may everyone receive a refreshing tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, as we give thee praise and honor and glory tonight, Father, may the saints of God not shut up their bowels of compassion, but, O God, may they be bold in thee tonight to worship thee. Father, to enter into thy gates with thanksgiving and into thy courts with praise. Oh God, may they enter in tonight with thanksgiving and with praise, O Heavenly Father. God, give us of your blessings tonight. Give us of your Spirit tonight. Oh God, may thy richness dwell in our hearts tonight, Heavenly Father. May the light burn so brightly tonight, O God. Lord, that our light will be seen throughout this neighborhood, Father. Lord, and may our light so shine that men may see our good works around the world and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Father, help every saint of God tonight, every person tonight, to enter into the wonderful blessings of God. Oh, as it was with John on the Lord's day, may we enter into the Spirit, oh God, in this hour. For as we come into the church, we realize that it's not by power or might, but, Father, that it's by your Spirit. Help us to enter into your Spirit tonight, Father, that we might not just hear what the minister is saying, but, Father, may we have ears to hear tonight what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, God, at this late hour, let us hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Oh, God, give us ears to hear, Father, and give us eyes to see tonight, that we may enter into the Spirit of the living God and may know that thou art near even at the door tonight, Jesus. Help us to strive to enter in at the straight gate tonight, Father. Oh, Lord, knowing that many shall try and not be able, for once the Master has risen up and shut to the door, Father, they shall begin to knock from without. Oh, God, but then it will be too late. And I pray thee, O God, that even this night, while there is yet a little spark, Father of light, while there is yet a little bit of time, I do humbly pray and beseech thee in the merciful name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, Lord, that your glorious Holy Ghost will come down and your wonderful Spirit, Father, will enter into our hearts. May the Holy Spirit sweep over us tonight, God, and enter into our hearts. to enlarge our hearts, to enlarge our understanding, that our spirits may praise Thee tonight, to give Thee honor, to give Thee praise, and to give Thee glory, O lovely Son of God. I pray in Jesus' name tonight that Your blessings would be here with us in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. 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 Can you say amen? Praise God. You can be seated. Now, you know, I don't know of anything that is more beautiful to me than the Word of God. Do you? It is so beautiful to me. It is so wonderful. I could spend an entire lifetime just thinking about Jesus and talking about the Word of God. It is so wonderful to me to talk about the Word of God or to read the Word of God, because I have learned that the Word of God is a world within itself. You know, if you learn that God's Word is a world, then it will do something for you that it's never done before. Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and My words are life." And until you learn that God's Word is spirit, you really haven't got started. You know, you can read it as a book, and it's just like all other books. But brother, when you realize, sister, when you realize that God's Word is a spiritual Word of life, then it'll change your entire disposition. Your entire world will be changed, because you will find that there is something in God's Word that you've never seen before. You'll find that God's Word holds a world that you can enter into and find such great satisfaction that you'll never be the same anymore. Hallelujah. They used to sing that song, "It's Different Now." And I found out that when you come into God's Word, it is different. When you get into God's Word and God's mind and God's way of life, you find a difference that you've never been acquainted with before. When people need healing, God will heal them. When people need deliverance from demon spirits, God will deliver them. You know, some people have their minds harassed all the day long. Devils oppress them all the day long. They are harassed. They are oppressed. They don't have any joy. You know, the day that we're living in is a dark, dark day. It's a hard day. The Bible teaches that just before God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, that the darkness got so great that they could literally feel the darkness. And did you know the darkness is so great today that you can actually feel the darkness? You can feel the evil powers of darkness on your human senses and on these human nerves. You can feel it in such a great way till it's hard for you to find relief. It's hard for you to find a place to get out from under this great oppression that's in the world today. Why is it in the world today? There's a reason that it's in the world today. The reason for it is because it is the day of sin. It is the day when people are not seeking God. They're not talking with God. They're not interested in God. They are becoming more worldly minded. They're interested in the tangible matter. They're interested in the tangible side of life. Even at Christmas time, look at the way that their hearts and their minds go. It doesn't go toward Christ. They don't think about God or the babe born in the manger, but they think about worldliness. They think about the natural things of the world. You would say, "Well, Brother Pike, doesn't God want us to have the natural benefits of life? If He doesn't want us to have them, then why did He create the things?" Oh, brother, sister, God wants you to have the natural things of life. God wants you to have the clothing that you need for your body. God wants you to have a home to live in. God wants you to have adequate transportation for the purpose. God wants you to do that. God wants you to have health and happiness. He wants you to have the blessings also that comes from above. And dedicate the things of this life to Him, that His Spirit may anoint those things, that you may enjoy those things, and that you may be blessed in those things that God gives unto you. Isn't it a true fact that God gave unto Adam and Eve everything that heart could wish for? Isn't that true? Was it then that God wanted to take those things away from Adam and Eve? Certainly not. It was that God saw that Adam and Eve was not qualified in their spirit and understanding to possess all things. You know, the Bible tells us that all things are ours. Isn't that right? But God saw that they were not in condition to accept all things. And so then God had to take all things from them and put their seed through a process that He someday could bring them back to the garden and give them all of the things that He desired that they should have. You know, God is good. It can triply be said that God is good. Oh, when you think of God as being good, when you think of God as being kind and God being full of compassion and understanding, my brother, sister, it'll really do something for you. But if you think of God any other way, you'll find yourself in a wilderness. You'll find yourself trying to figure out what's going on, because there's going to be harassment of mind. There's going to be torment of spirit. There's going to be sicknesses. There's going to be plagues. There's going to be problems. Your neighbor sometimes is going to hurt you. Your relative sometimes is going to hurt you. Those that are closer, are closest to your heart, is going to hurt you sometimes. You're going to find all of these things in life is going to happen. And you're going to be frustrated. You're not going to understand. You're not going to know what to do. But I tell you, if you know that God is love, if you know that God is good, if you know that God is on your side and that you're on God's side, then you don't have to worry about anything, because you know that all things work together for good to them that love God and those that are the called according to God's purpose. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. So then we learn that the fall of Adam and Eve was because of their own misfortune and understanding, not because of God, for God gave it to them. God gave it to them, and God wanted them to have it. And friend, today God has given you your health, and God has given you your wife, and God has given you your husband, and God has given you your children, and God has given you a good automobile, and God has given you the stars and the moon and the trees and the birds, and God has given you the streams that run across the beautiful mountains. God has given it to you. And God wanted you to have it. Oh, God is so good. There's none good but God. And God made it all for you. You know, the sad thing about it is that you have to depart this life and leave it all. That's what makes it so bad. Solomon, by wisdom, said, I've gotten all of these wonderful things, and all of these wonderful things belong to me. And by wisdom, I've gotten all of these things, but said, I must depart this life. And then who knows but what, I will leave it to a fool. And he was very grieved in spirit, very sad in spirit. For he saw all of the beautiful things that his hand had wrought by the faith of God and by the wisdom of God. He said, now what if I die? What if I pass off the scene? And I surely will. He said, then what will happen to all of these things? Somebody else will take them. Somebody else will enjoy them. Or somebody else may be a fool and just squander them away. And so it was when Solomon passed off the scene. He left a foolish son by the name of Rehoboam, and he squandered them away. He lost 10 tribes of the 12 over to a wicked Jeroboam just to begin with. About 975 B.C., we see the kingdom split, and so it happened just according to the fear of Solomon. But I want you to know tonight that we don't have to die. I want you to know that God hath no pleasure in death. I want you to know that God is trying to perfect life in us, that we don't have to die. And God is not the instigator of death. It's not God's plan for us to die. It's not God's plan for us to get sick. It's not God's plan for us to grow old and feeble. It's God's plan that we should live on and on and on. Isn't that right? That's why tonight that we ought to be concerned, children of God, about the things of God instead of the things of this world. What the devil would like to do is to get you so swallowed up in the natural side of life until you place the greater emphasis on the lesser value. And then the first news you know, all that you could have eternally, you lose it just in a few short years. Whereas if you just stop and think and say, wait a minute, I belong to God. If I have eternal life, then all things will be mine. You know, the Bible tells us that all things are ours. All things are ours, but who is it going to belong to? Is it going to belong to the man that possesses it out there? Is it going to belong to the wicked? Is it going to belong to the man that's got the most money, or the man that's got the most prestige, or the man that's got the most education? You say, well, Brother Pike, it's obvious that it does. You can look around and see. But I've got some news for you tonight, glad tidings of great joy. It's going to belong to the ones that can outlive the others. Somebody say amen. the ones that outlive the others are the ones that's going to own every bit of it. And who is it that's going to outlive the others? We're going to outlive the others. Glory to God, we'll fold them up and lay them away. But we will live on and on and on and on and on. And all things shall be ours, for we shall outlive the others. God has given unto us eternal life. And when the great rich man that owns everything is folded up and laid away, we will live on. And as the song says, I'll live on and on. Glory, hallelujah, I'll live on. And the Bible said, the days of my people shall be as the days of a tree. Isn't that wonderful? You know, it's nothing for a tree to live 1,000 years. So then it shall be as the days of a tree. That's why that I say tonight that we ought to place our hearts and minds on the things of God and seek those things that are from above. Place your affection on things above, where thieves don't steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. But wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. If you start laying up treasures in this world, you're going to find out that your heart's going to be in this world. But you know, when you think about those little children that's overseas and the little children that's in the United States that's scattered around, that's hungry and needy, and those people that are so have such misfortune that they are not as fortunate as you are, they don't have the thing that you have, and you start thinking about them and what you can do for them and how you can share with them, then God begins to come close to you. You know what causes a person to be in need all their life? You know what causes a person not to have the things that they need in this life? Is greed. Greed and selfishness can keep a person poor. Did you know that? Greed and selfishness can cause a person to come to poverty. But I want you to know the Bible said the liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered net by him on high. Hallelujah. So then when we get our minds on another, when we look on the things of another, when we praise God for the victory of another, when we thank God because our neighbor's prospering, when we can look up and say, oh, hallelujah, I might not have what my neighbor's got, but glory to God, I thank you, Father, that you smiled upon my neighbor. Oh, it makes me feel so good, Lord, when my neighbor goes down the road and he's got such wonderful blessings. You might say, well, Brother Pike, my neighbor's not too good. How can I rejoice over that? Why, Jesus called Judas friend, isn't that right? He called Judas friend. Now you might look and you might see that your neighbor doesn't deserve it. I'm not saying that he deserves it, but who does deserve it? Come on, folks. I said, who does deserve it? Well, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you know we the saints of God deserve it. Why, we don't deserve anything. What we've got is strictly by grace, and it's a good thing he give grace, or we wouldn't got nothing. Isn't that right? So then there's none good tonight. All of it belongs to God. Everything that's good belongs to God. And what we've got, Christian friend, is by the grace of God. So when we see our neighbor ride down the road, and we say, Lord, we praise you for that wonderful blessing. Hallelujah. See those little children in the car with our neighbor, and say, those little children are fed to the full, and we don't have to sit here and look out the door and see the little bony features, you know, like they do overseas. We don't have to look upon those little skeleton bodies. Oh, Lord, we don't have to stay here and watch them just die out because of starvation. I'm so glad, Father, that you would bless my neighbor. I'm so glad you would bless my brother and sister. And you know, after a while, God looks down from heaven, and it just warms his heart so much, it thrills his heart so much. And he says, well, there's Brother Taylor sitting over here just praising me because the neighbor's blessed, and he doesn't have the things he needs. Well, I think I'll just slip back the windows of heaven and just pour him out a blessing that he'll not be able to receive. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So then we see that our neighbor can be blessed, and we can be blessed too. But brothers and sisters, until we get to the place to where we look on the things of another, we'll never be blessed. Isn't that right? The Bible said, look not on the things of your own, but on the things of another. To esteem others better than yourself. That way we should pray for others. Don't always be saying, Lord, do something for me. Lord, do something for me. You know what I ask God to do for me is to straighten me out. That's my prayer. I say, God, help me to get straight. God, keep me straight. Lord, help me to live right. I'm not always asking God to give me something, because God gives me so much I don't know what to do with it. Now you say, Brother Pike, that's not true. I tell you what, I build buildings and buildings and buildings, and I pour it in and pour it in and pour it in, and have to go dig it out and throw it away and give it away, and everything else in the building still fill up, and I don't know what to do with it. So then when you believe God, God will bless you, my brother and sister. God will bless you. We don't pull for offerings. We don't ask for offerings. We don't solicit by radio, by TV, by magazine. We don't take personal offerings. But God still abundantly blesses us with everything that our hearts could wish for. Oh, hallelujah. That's God. Did you know that? Now, if you go around knocking on everybody's door asking for an offering, you don't know whether that's God or not. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, if you get an abundance, you don't know whether it's God or not. Is that right? But I'll tell you, when you don't bother anybody, but you just go on trusting God, and then it comes in, you know that it's God then. You know that it's God keeping His promise. All right, so the Bible tells us that we should strive to enter in at the straight gate. Make a special effort, Jesus said. Strive to enter in, for many shall try and shall not be able. That means that somebody is going to be religious. That means that somebody is going to go to church. That means that somebody is going to pray, even fast. But it doesn't mean that they're going to get in. Israel prayed. Israel fasted. Israel done everything that seemed to be the right thing. But they didn't get in. God closed them out. Isn't that right? So then, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Try to get in. Make a special effort. Humble your hearts before God, for many shall try and not be able. You say, Brother Pike, how then can I get into the kingdom of God? The Bible tells us that God gives more grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the hand of the mighty God, that He might exalt you in due season. If you want to get into the palace of God and the kingdom of God, humble your heart. Don't think about how great you are. Think about how great your neighbor is. Don't think about how powerful and mighty you are. But think about God and how great God is. And praise God and give glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. That's the way to do it. Humble your hearts before God. Follow the Spirit of Christ. For it's not by power. It's not by programs. It's by the Spirit of the living God. You know, we can have all the programs we want to, and programs are good. As a matter of fact, we had one tonight I believe was a good program. Now, we can have all the programs we want to. We can have all the suppers we want to. All the gatherings we want to, all the union meetings we want to, but brother and sister, that isn't going to do the job. We are going to have the Spirit of the living God. We are going to have to get in touch with Christ. We're going to have to learn about God's Word, hallelujah, and get a hold of God's Spirit, because it's not by power or might, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, the prophets of old, as they walked this earth, they lifted their hands and hearts to heaven, and they'd say, thus saith the Lord. And the Spirit of God would come down, and the people would literally tremble and shake because they were afraid of the Spirit of God. But you know, in the day that we're living in, the preachers can go through the land and they can say things that come from their heart, from the Spirit of God, from the warnings of God. And did you know that people don't have a fear of God? They don't pay any attention to it. You say, well, Brother Pike, it's a different day. It's no different from that day. The only thing is you've got grace in the day that you're living in. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that's what I mean when I say different. We've got grace. We don't have to shake and tremble. But, oh, brother, listen. Don't you realize that grace is just for a season? Don't you know that grace is just to keep God's wrath off of you until you have time to perfect your life? Did you know that Jesus, your own champion of justice, your own great Messiah, made the statement that the third day I shall be perfected? And then Paul tells us that we are to go on to perfection, seeing that he himself set the example for us that we ought to go on to perfection. When he got upset at Herod, he said, you go tell that fox back there that I'm doing healings and cures today and tomorrow. He said, but the third day I'll be perfected. Therefore, being made perfect, the Bible tells us that he became the author and the finisher of our faith and of our salvation, learning obedience by the things that he suffered. You know, what we've got to do is realize that the suffering that comes on us is for our own good, and that God is trying to perfect our lives by that suffering, brother and sister. Do you realize that when something happens to you, that that is the hand of God in your life? Not that God wants you to suffer. But the Bible does say that God does afflict. God does pour in the oil and the wine. God does wound, but God does bind up. Is that right? Now, not that God afflicts willingly. It's your own thing, your own way of life, doing your own thing that causes it. if you would come to the place to where you would follow God, then wouldn't it be wonderful? If we walked in the footsteps of Christ our Lord, what a wonderful thought it would be. What a wonderful life it would be. What if you love Jesus and I love Jesus and we love Jesus and we all walk together in the fear of God? Think what a neighborhood we would have. Hallelujah. Brother John over here, pastor of the church, would there be any need in the church? Would there be any problems in the church? Why, we keep the problems out, because who causes the problems? It's the people of the church. It's they that cause the problems, and yet not they, and that Satan is the cause of it. I know that he is the root of the whole thing. But I want you to know that if we all love God, all come to the unity of faith, then we'd have a wonderful world. The Bible said, till we all come to the full measure of the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith. I'd like tonight to be able to be perfect, wouldn't you? My prayer to God is, Father, make me perfect. I pray this prayer. I pray it continually. Oh, Father of heaven, make me perfect. Not that I have to do any special thing to get salvation. Not that I've got to be any special person to have salvation. God wrought that at Calvary. God did that by his own shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. By the remission of that sin, I have received the blessings of God. Is that right? By the shed blood of Calvary, my sins have been remitted. In the name of him that shed the blood, I've been baptized in his lovely name, and my sins have been taken away. And I've been filled with the spirit of that same Christ, that one that shed his blood at Calvary. Tonight it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Do you know what I mean when I say the faith of the Son of God? You know, I was talking to some people the other night about the faith of the Son of God. Sometimes we don't understand what you're saying when you say the faith of the Son of God. Here, one writer is preaching over here, and he's preaching about faith, and he said, now, if you've got faith, you better get some works, that faith is going to be dead. You know, what kind of faith is he talking about? He's talking about my faith and your faith, isn't that right? But when Paul spoke of it, Paul spoke about a faith that didn't need any works, is that right? Was he talking about your faith and my faith, or talking about his faith? He was talking about his faith, the faith of the Son of God. The life I now live, Paul said, I live in the flesh, by the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. By the faith of the Son of God. That means that what Jesus wrought by his faith, I am entitled to tonight. What Jesus did as he walked this earth as a human being, I am entitled to the benefits of it tonight. Because he believed, I have the reward. Because Christ Jesus did not waver. Because he had an unwavering faith. Tonight, I have the benefits of that faith. He believed once and for all and became heir to the glory of God. Is that right? And tonight I am heir to all things in God because he believed in God. So then, one, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, became heir. Paul tells us that the promise was not the seeds as of many, but the seeds as of one, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is Isaac, Abraham's seed. And in him, all nations ought to be blessed. So then tonight I can be blessed. How? In the Son of God. Am I then heir to the glory of God? No. Are you then heir? No. Then who was heir? He was heir. For the promise was as unto not many, but one. So then he became heir to the glory of God. And then where does that leave me tonight? I am heir through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? I've said this a lot of times. You know, God has but one that made it through. Isn't that right? Has but one that made it through. Eight there was when the flood came. And a few years later, he cut it down. When Sodom and Gomorrah came, he cut it half in two and it wasn't but four. Is that right? A little later on, God brought a great exodus out of Egypt. He cut it half in two and it wasn't but two. Caleb and Joshua. Somebody say, I love Jesus. A few years later, when Calvary came, he cut it half in halves again, and there wasn't but one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not a member of that body tonight, you're not heir to the glory of God. The only way we can be heir to the glory of God is through the membership of that body tonight. We're all baptized into one body by one Spirit, hallelujah. And tonight we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone tonight, heir to the glory of God through that one that was made heir to all things. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Let me talk to you a few more minutes. All right. So it's good to be here tonight, isn't it? How many feel like it's good to talk about Jesus tonight? Isn't it good to be here? Oh, what if the rapture took place tonight? What if the rapture? Now I know when you say rapture, I know there's no such word in the Bible, rapture. I know that's called, a lot of people get tripped up. You know, man-made applications, and I know sometimes they're good, but that really causes a misfit sometimes. Isn't that right? That's where we get mixed up when we say waiting for the rapture. Paul said waiting for the change. Isn't that right? And then when he spoke of the change from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation, from understanding to understanding. Is that right? Moving on from glory to glory. But where is the kingdom of God tonight, beloved friend? Is it not inside of me and inside of you tonight? Are we not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it a fact that when Jesus hung at Calvary, the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain? Wasn't it at Calvary that God rolled back the heavens and John, seeing the revelation, looked up and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open." And he looked up and he said, "I see the ark of his testament." There was lightnings and there was thunderings when the veil was rent in twain. You know, Jesus, the Bible said he made in himself twain. Isn't that right? He didn't just make in himself one, but two. He made in himself both Lord and Christ, according to the Bible. He made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ, and told them, he said, "Now you people that are naturally minded, looking at this natural tabernacle that was a type or a shadow or a pattern of the heavenly things," he said, "now you watch. When the real true temple is rent in twain, you're going to see that thing split right down the middle. And there's not going to be any more of this high priest going in. But he said, you'll be able to boldly go into the presence of the living God." Isn't that right? And so then when Jesus hung at Calvary, though they did not understand what he was saying, the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The Lord was separated from the Christ, for he made in himself twain in the temple. There was two, both Lord and Christ, Peter said. So the Lord was separated from the Christ. The temple was rent in twain. And for what purpose? That God may take the body of his Son and make it sin for your body and my body. That part of the temple may be counted dead, counted out of the presence of God, counted buried in the name of Jesus, counted rejected as the Jewish people, which represented by spiritual revelation the membership of that body that was membership to the head, which was Jesus. As they rejected their head, Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" And so when their king was crucified, when their head was smitten, that membership died. They went out of the presence of God. They've been wandering through darkness in the dark age. We find it in the dark age from about 606 to 1520, in the days of Bloody Mary. And way back in the days of Boniface, we find the church, that is the Jewish church, the church of the wilderness, going through this great darkness because God had rejected them in that they had killed their head. And that natural body that was membership to that natural head went out of the presence of God to show that my natural body was dead in God's sight and that there would be no more sin in the flesh. That man could not sin in the flesh any longer. And the grace of God could be poured out upon all mankind. Paul said, "Within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present, but to perform that which is good I find not." Is that right? So then he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? For in my heart," he said, "I have a mind, a will to do good. I have a desire to do good." He said, "But how to perform that in my bodily members, I cannot find how to do it. I praise God," he said, "that Jesus Christ, my Lord, performed it and said the works was finished from the foundation of the world." And even though he performed it with his body, yet the Bible said, "No flesh being justified by the law, even the Son of God could not be justified by the law. But God being manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit." There was no justification of the flesh by the law, but being justified through the grace of God, being justified by the Spirit of God. Though God himself put on a human body, came down to this world, Yet his justification had to be by the grace that was to come through the own shed blood of the veins that the body carried. You love the Lord? For the Bible said his prayers returned into his bosom. Where else could they go? There was no other place that they could go, because God was the fullness in Jesus. Is that right? So then the veil was rent in twain. Can you talk on this just a minute now? Can we be spiritual just a minute? The veil was rent in twain. Paul said, I'd love to speak unto you as spirituals, not as the babes in Christ, but as unto spirituals. For the veil was rent in twain. That is, the body was separated from the spirit. What happened at that time? My spirit went into the kingdom of the living God. Oh, my brother and sister tonight, if you could understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's no wonder that Paul praised the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's no wonder that John talked about the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to know the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you could understand what God has wrought for you in Christ Jesus, what a great thing God, the eternal Spirit, hath done for you that love Him, that believe on Him. Oh, how great and how mighty. What a great and mighty thing God hath done for you that believe on His lovely name tonight. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. Sin was at last done away with in the flesh. There was no more sin in the flesh. Today there is no sin in the flesh. You know, I preach against sin. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, God didn't send you in this world to condemn us. They say, God didn't send the preachers to condemn us. I agree to that. A person can start preaching against sin, preaching a little holiness, a little holy living, and somebody will pop up, you know, and they'll say, well, God didn't send you to do that, to condemn us like that. And I know that, but I've said this a lot of times, God did send me to condemn sin in the flesh. For the Bible said we ought to condemn sin in the flesh. And brother and sister, we are not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. God doesn't want us walking in the flesh tonight, because we are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God is within you. If you have not the Spirit of God, then you're not of Christ. Is that right? So then the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Tonight, there is no sin of the flesh. Therefore, we preach against the flesh, because the flesh should be laid aside. We should not walk after the things of the flesh. Is that right? To a believer, there is no sin. There is no sin. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of that. By the faith of the Son of God, there is no more sin to them that believe. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? I'm talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the translation. I'm talking about the change. Until we come to a knowledge, brothers and sisters, to where we can have a perfect faith in God, we'll never make the translation. You say, well, we're just waiting on God. We're not waiting on God. Jesus said, it's finished, Father. God said, I've done all I can. Said, now save your own selves from this underworld generation. Is that right? There is no more sin to a Christian. He that is born of God cannot sin. Is that right? He cannot sin. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, we walk real good and do real good. Don't make a Bible, hold on, we won't sin. The Bible said he that is born of God, he cannot sin. It doesn't matter whether you Bible or don't Bible. It has nothing to do with it. It's not what you believe. It's not what you've done. It's the faith of the Son of God. Paul said, I live this life by the faith of the Son of God. So then, where are we tonight? There is no sin to a Christian. What does this mean to us? Oh, what has our father Abraham found as pertaining to the faith? What does it mean to me that there's no more sin? Brother, if there's no more sin, there is no more death. And I say that God hath no pleasure in death. If there's no more sin, there is no more death. Oh, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that? Yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. You mean to tell me that you believe there's going to be people that ain't going to die? I mean to tell you that I believe that there's people that ain't going to die. Some of us is going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, according to Thessalonians, we're going to be changed. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be changed, the Bible says. and then caught up into the air. You know, the air reaches up, I guess, about 50 miles, is it? Up into the air. That means it's going to be somewhere close by. Not off in the galaxies. If the air is only about 50 miles up, that means you're going to be pretty close by. Up in the air, if you can see the sun and it's so many millions of miles away, think how bright the coming of Jesus will be less than 50 miles away. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Looking up into the air, and the Bible said we shall be caught up to meet Him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Is that right? There is no more sin. There is no more sin. There is no more sin. If there is no more sin, there is no more death. Oh, I like that. Glory to God, the undertakers will have to go out of business. If there's no more sin, there is no more death. You know, I told you from the beginning that God didn't want you to die, that God gave you all of these things. It never has been God's will for you to do without these wonderful things that satisfies the outer man. But you know, the trouble is the devil has got in the flesh, used the human senses, and he's commercializing, so to speak, off of mankind. That is, he's leeching off of mankind like a parasite. He's using up man's life to enjoy the things that belong to man, the things that Satan is cut off from and cannot get to except through man. Is that right? That's why you have to have the devil cast out of you. It's like a disease, like a parasite. It's like cancer. It's like some kind of bad thing on the inside of the body taking your life, and you're just half alive while that thing is living your life. Is that right? You know, some people, like they're in a smog or a fog, they go 15 and 20 years. And when they look back, they can't hardly even remember yesterday. Why, they've not really lived their lives. Some spirit has lived their life. You know? Oh, can we get a little personal? You know, when they look in the mirror, they think they look like a certain movie star. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Amen. And they do their hair like a certain somebody that they thought was famous. And when they walk down the street, they think about a certain prosperous businessman or a millionaire. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And seeing these things bind them hand and feet, and the first news you know, 10 years of their life has gone by, and that spirit has lived the life, when if they'd have just been a simple, down-to-earth person and have been what they themselves were made to be for the glory of God, my, what a wonderful thing, Christian friend, that would be. You could live your life to the fullest. Hallelujah, I am what I am, Paul said, by the grace of God. So then the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That is, the body was taken away and my spirit was free. For the Bible said, if we are baptized with Christ Jesus into death, then as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And the Bible said, I counsel of you to buy of me raiment that was tried in the fire. Oh, glory to God, there's only one raiment that was tried in the fire. There was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It walked through the chambers of hell. It went through the flaming pits of hell. That raiment was tried in the flame. And the Bible said, every person that comes forth without that wedding garment shall be bound hand and feet and cast into the flames. Put ye on that beautiful garment, Zion. Hallelujah, I counsel you to buy me that kind of raiment. Oh, I tell you what, you need to put on the Lord Jesus tonight. We're bone of His bone, we're flesh of His flesh. It's Christ living tonight. My body's been buried with Him. And that man is dead, and this new man is Christ Jesus. Not to know any man after the flesh. The Bible said we have known Christ after the flesh. From henceforth we know Him no more after the flesh. We know Him as a quickening spirit. For the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. So then I know you tonight as a quickening spirit, because your old man is dead, passed away, buried beneath the water. Hallelujah. And you're bone of his bone tonight and flesh of his flesh. You're resurrected from the dead tonight to die no more. Isn't that right? You're not going to die anymore, friend, because you pass from death unto life. He that is born of God cannot sin. Why is it he cannot sin? Because the word, the seed, the faith seed of God remains in his heart, and he cannot disbelieve. Oh, heights can't separate you. Depths can't separate you. Sorrow can't separate you. Poverty can't separate you. Demon powers can't separate you. Satan can't separate you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, look how secure. I live it by the faith of the Son of God, for Jesus said it is finished. Therefore contend for the faith that you're sanctified by. For this one faith by which you're sanctified. And I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Hold on. Are you listening?
Oh, hallelujah.
Let me say a few more words and I'm going to close. Friend, listen. When you're born of God, you don't have to die. When you're born of God, you cannot sin. If you cannot sin, then you cannot die. Is that right? Now you say, Brother Pike, why is that? The Bible said the transgression of the law is sin. Is that right? And the sting of death is sin. The transgression of the law is sin. And the sting of death is sin. If you pull a stinger out of a bumblebee, he can't hurt you anymore, can he? Now he might buzz around and try to bluff you. He might buzz around and try to bluff you and make you think he's still in power. But I want you to know the devil's had the stinger took out of him. Did you know that? He's buzzing around and he's got a lot of followers because he's working on them through fear. You know, the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear. But the devil gives his people a spirit of fear and he rules through fear. You know, fear is just exactly faith in reverse. That is, when you believe God into power. When you disbelieve, it means that you fear and you're believing the devil into power in your life. Is that right? Faith is a form of surrender, whether it's in reverse or whatever. So then, we cannot transgress the law, for by the body of Jesus is folded up and laid away. I cannot transgress the law. If I cannot transgress the law, why is it I cannot transgress the law? Because there's no law for me to transgress. That which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. The old covenant is gone. The law was added because of transgression, not because of grace. Oh, I wish we had time to go into it tonight. 430 years before the law ever came, God justified Abraham by faith, saying that I shall justify the heathen by faith. Old brother Enoch, how did he get out of this world alive? Come on now. How did Enoch get out of this world alive? It was because he could not transgress the law because there was no law to transgress. Though death reigned over them made after the similitude of Adam, even under the coming of the law, which was imputed for transgression's sake, Paul said to make sin becoming exceeding sinful, that I might be able to recognize it. War against it. There's a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. The outer man is dead, though there's a continual warfare. But I'm free from him by the body of Jesus. I can still have faith in the faith of the Son of God. Are you listening? So then there is no transgression. Though the continual warfare goes on, though the stumbling goes on, though the harassment goes on, though the oppression of darkness goes on, gross darkness covering the people, but in the end time, there shall be light in the evening time. Hallelujah! A great light is spring up to them that set in the regions of the shadow of death. What is darkness? That intellectual darkness is that intellectual reasoning that comes from the tree of knowledge. Paul turned my people from darkness to light. But what is light? The mind of Jesus Christ. Are we children of the night? We are children of the day. Do we lean to our own understanding? Where the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I trust in God tonight. There is no transgression because there is no law to transgress. I am free from transgression. Therefore, if transgression of the law is sin, there is no more sin in my life. There is no more sin in your life. Hallelujah. Excluded by what? The law of faith. The faith of the Son of God. Because my faith sometimes is up and down like a ball. In and out like a swing. Is that right? But by the faith of the Son of God. Mine always manages to get back up. But when we do learn to believe like Jesus did, and that is faith without wavering, then we'll see the sick heal. The blind eyes open, the deaf ones unstopped, and we'll see the lame to walk again. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Not that any of that believing justifies us. For we are justified by His believing. Therefore, being justified by the faith of the Son of God, we have access to that faith inasmuch as I believe in what He done, which is my faith in believing in the shed blood of Calvary. Is that right? I'm made heir to it. Therefore, if my faith wavers a little, His makes up for it. That little wink link in my chain, His locks it together. Is that right? Have you loved Jesus?
There's no more transgression. There's no more sin. There's no more death, because sin is the sting of death. Hallelujah. So sin is gone. Then we say, oh grave, where's your victory? Oh death, where's your sting? Hallelujah. Where's your sting, death? You're powerless. Where's your grave victory? You're powerless. Why? Because Jesus Christ made it that way. That's why some won't die. Some is going to come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Some is going to come to the faith of the Son of God. Some is going to come to realize that this thing ain't from one revival to another. That we're not up this time and down the next time and getting re-sanctified the next time. For the Bible said the faith by which you're sanctified in God hath perfected us one time and forever. Are you listening? For God hath perfected us once and for all forever. God has made us perfect. Hallelujah. Don't you feel good being perfect tonight? Oh, somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. I don't know whether I'm perfect or not. The Bible said God's coming back after church without spot, without wrinkle. A perfected church, isn't that right? Brother, you better be perfect if you're going to be part of the church. If you're going with Him, you say, well, that's what I'm doing now. I'm getting perfect. Paul said, having begun in the Spirit, are you so foolish that you're trying to perfect yourself by the flesh? Can you be made perfect through the flesh? Peter said, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh that makes you perfect, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the faith of Jesus Christ. That is by baptism. Is that right? Putting on Christ. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe I ought to put away the filth of the flesh? Brother, could an apple tree be an apple tree and not bear apples? Does bearing the apples make it an apple tree, or is apples just the proof that it's got an apple nature? Glory to God, it can't do nothing else but bear apples. Somebody said, well, glory to God, if I ain't got nothing to do, I'm going to quit. I said, all right. You'll never bear apples anyway because you don't have an apple nature. I'm talking about fruit trees. You know, whatever you was created, or a bramble bush or whatever, that's what you are. But brother, you can't quit. When you got an apple nature, you can't quit. When the springtime comes and the sun starts caressing, the little apple blossoms will pop out everywhere. Somebody say, oh my, my, my. I thought I had that thing all changed around. It wouldn't do that anymore. That's right. Take a Christian, hush him down, shut him up, put him over here. Say, don't you say nothing else now. In just about the time the Spirit of God moves across the audience, you know he'll lose all his dignity. Say, glory to God. Somebody say, oh my. Oh my, he's done it again. That little apple blossom will just pop out. Isn't that right? God do something good for him. He'll say, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And the tears will start twinkling down. They'll say, there he goes again. You just can't keep him from it. You love Jesus? Oh, brother, tonight, you're a great people. Let me say this in closing tonight. You are a great and a mighty people tonight. You have overcome death tonight. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in His faith and what He's done for you. You are a people that are free from death tonight. You do not have to go by the way of the grave. You may go by the way of the grave, but you don't have to go by the way of the grave. Enoch did not go by the way of the grave. Why? Because there was no transgression. Somebody would say, well, he's coming back, Brother Pike, and he'll have to die. But if Enoch comes back and he has to die, the Scriptures is broken. And we might as well to throw the Bible in the ocean. For the Bible teaches that the Scriptures cannot be broken. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Therefore, he isn't coming back to see it, beloved friend. And today we're on this side of Calvary and we're in the same condition he was before the law came. He was here before it came and we're here after it's gone. So by faith we don't have to die anymore. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a wonderful thing tonight. By faith. Let's all stand together.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Tonight, I want to say again that this is a great time. We're here by spiritual revelation. This has to do with a great spiritual thing, beloved friend. A great thing. You say, what does it have to do with, Brother Pike? It has to do with the resurrection of the dead. That's right. All right. So then, if it has to do with a great thing, you know, this is called olive branch and cedar view. You know, Solomon built the temple out of cedar. Isn't that right? It had the best view of heaven. It said that the branch of the Lord would be beautiful in that day, did he? Well, he would
set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. You know, the Mount of Olives is a beautiful place. I'm sure that many of you have been there. But I've stood at the Mount of Olives. My wife and I, we stood upon the Mount of Olives and looked down across Jerusalem. And it's just about 1,000 yards, which is a Sabbath day's journey from the Mount of Olives down across the Kidron Valley into the lovely city of Jerusalem. And there you see the little trail winding down that Jesus went down on Palm Sunday, going down to the beautiful Golden Gates. It was closed up by the Turks when they came in. Nobody's been through that gate. You know, they closed it up to the coming of the Messiah. But it's such a beautiful thing. We talk about Olive Branch and Mount Olives. You know, I was over here one time years ago, and something was taking place spiritually. And I made this statement. I said, now, God, that's a spiritual thing happening, but there's one thing lacking. I said, if you'd send an earthquake, that would make it perfect. And all of a sudden, God sent an earthquake, and it hit Olive Branch, and Olive Branch began to shake. It hit Memphis, and Memphis began to shake immediately just a few days after that. You remember that, Brother Carnes? See, something is happening. Like I said, there, you stand on the Mount of Olives, you look down through there. The Bible teaches that Jesus, that same Jesus that ascended up from the Mount of Olives, went away when these two men in white stood by and said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing in the heavens? Well, the same Jesus, as you've seen him go, so shall he come again. And he shall come and set his foot upon the Mount of Olives, and he shall cleave in half. And out of there shall come forth a river that shall run down into the Dead Sea. You know, you can see the plains of Moab from the top of the Mount of Olives. It's down by the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed. It's right there close by. And you can see, as you look there, as you see this great Moab, the land of Moab, where the church is going to flee to in that day, that is the church of the wilderness, you can see across there and see the plains of the Dead Sea. This Dead Sea, where the site of Sodom and Gomorrah once was, until the fire and the brimstone came down. You can look up there and see it. Just about 2 miles over on the eastern side, here is Bethany. Jesus come out of Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley up into the Mount of Olives and pray, and then down to Mary's and Martha's to visit. On his way to Mary and Martha's, he could stop by the garden there and pray. Here you can see that sea where that water is coming down into that Dead Sea someday and heal the waters of the Dead Sea. You know, they've learned there's more wealth in the Dead Sea alone than all of the wealth of the world. And it's something because that Dead Sea represents the Jews. Is that right? The Jewish people. And when the water comes down, it will go into the Dead Sea and heal the Dead Sea, which will mean that God has healed the Jewish people. That there's life in the Jewish people. There's life in the Jewish people. Because when he sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives, when he sets his feet there, a nation shall be born in one day. Somebody say, I love Jesus. A nation shall be born in one day, and he shall lift up his hands, and they shall say, where did you get the nail prints? He said, I got them in the house of my friends. And he said, I have graved thee in the palms of my hands. I have engraved thee in the palms of my hands that I might not forget thee, that I may never remember thee. The mother may forget her little babe, but I have engraved thee in the palms of my hands that I may never forget thee. Isn't that wonderful? The nail prints engraved this in the palms, the prophet of old said, that we may never be forgotten. Hallelujah. So it's a wonderful thought to be here tonight. You love Jesus? Praise God. I noticed Brother John got his flag up back there too. I want you to lift your hands up with me now. Will you do that? Let's think seriously tonight, folks. It's a real late hour. A real late hour. And we need to think seriously tonight because it is a late hour. Pardon me, while you've got your hands up, I want you to examine yourself tonight for just a moment. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you are in the faith. You know, faith by the hearing of the Word of God. Your conviction may be in something you've heard, something that someone's told you. It may be in anything. But, oh, beloved friend, is it in the Word of God tonight? Faith in the Word of God. In the last days they shall depart from the faith. You know, that don't mean departing from a church, departing from somebody's doctrine, departing from something somebody's told you, departing from a conviction or something that you have got in your heart that you think's right, but departing from the Word of God. They shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. But oh, some will be past feeling, but some will hold on to Jesus. The night is getting darker now. You can feel the darkness, but great light is springing up. It's evening time.
The song said there shall be light in the evening time. The path to glory we shall surely find. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Let's just love Him for a few minutes. While they're playing something on the piano here, let's take a minute and examine ourselves and think on Jesus tonight. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Him? Praise God. Can you reach out tonight in your hearts and in your minds as we tarry, beloved friend, just for a few minutes? You know it's good to take a few minutes for Jesus, isn't it? Hezekiah gave God a few minutes. Isn't that right? God added 15 years of living. You know what? You just give God 10 minutes. God may add 10 years. You get in a hurry and take 10 minutes from God, God may take 10 years off of your life. A lot of people have lived a short life because they didn't have time for Jesus. They were too busy buying, getting gain, doing things, doing their thing in life. You know, too busy doing their thing in life. And God cut them off at an early age. Yesterday, or last night it was, we were riding around in Memphis, passed through a place called Graceland up there. It come to my mind about the great rock and roll singer that lived there. Died at about 40 years old because he didn't have enough time for Jesus. What if he'd have given more time to Jesus? See, look what he could have done for God. Look where he would be tonight. Many other great people have died and passed on because they didn't have a little time for God. But oh, beloved friend, tonight, let's take time to be holy. Let's take time for Jesus. Let's take time to learn about the Word of God. It's the words of life. It can preserve us. Let's just slip our hands up and love Him, can we? Father, tonight we love You. Oh, we praise You, Jesus, not because we're good, but because You're good. Father, not because we're righteous tonight, but because You're righteous. And oh, God, we're secure tonight, not because we are able, but because You're able. And I ask in the name of Jesus, Father, tonight, to move by Your Spirit. Father, if there's a sick person here tonight, I want You to do something for them, Jesus. I want You to heal them tonight. Father, heal tonight. May Thy Spirit heal tonight, Father. God, may a person here tonight, Lord, if they have anything wrong with them, may they be healed. Father, if there's anything that's wrong in their lives tonight, may they be delivered, Father. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, move by Your Spirit tonight and do something special, Heavenly Father, by Your wonderful Spirit tonight. While they're playing, I'd like for you to step up to the altar tonight, especially if you need something from God. I'd like for you to come up here tonight. Just step out and let God do something for you. Let God touch your body tonight. Let God help you tonight. Can you do that? Come on, let's gather around the altar tonight. Let's take a few minutes for God tonight. Let's just take a few minutes for God tonight. Can you do that? Hallelujah. While they're playing on the musical instrument, just step out for God tonight. Step around the altar tonight. Let's take a few minutes for God. There may be something that's lacking in your life tonight. There may be something that you need tonight. God will do it for you. God will do it for you tonight. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. If thou canst believe tonight, all things are possible to them that believe. You know, if we believe tonight, God will do something special for us. It doesn't matter what it is. It may be healing. It may be deliverance from spirits. It may be a financial blessing. I don't know what it would be. But friend, tonight, God will do something for you. If thou canst believe tonight, God will do something for you. I feel God. Don't you feel God tonight? If you feel God tonight, lift up your hands if you believe God's in this place tonight. If you believe God's in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up. Hallelujah. You know, seeing you gathered around reminds us, we just come back from the islands a few weeks ago. Over in the Bahama Islands. And we was watching the people as they gathered around the altar. And I looked at the hungry face. Oh, how hungry those people are. While we were down in South America, in Central America, I saw the starving people. I saw the hunger of those people. And oh, beloved friend, my, what a need there is. What a need there is. Tonight, what are you doing? You that are Christians. Me as a Christian. What am I doing tonight? What am I trying to do tonight? To help the cause of Christ. And to help some poor soul find Jesus. What am I trying to do tonight? Am I doing anything for God tonight? Are you searching your heart? Oh, don't your heart just bleed tonight? When you think about the need of God and think about what you ought to be doing tonight, don't you have a burning zeal and a burning passion tonight? Glory to God to reach out and do something for Jesus. Don't you feel the wonderful presence of God tonight? Don't you want to do something for God tonight? Don't you want God to use you tonight? Oh, what will it be like when you stand before God empty-handed, not having been used of God? Oh, brother or sister in Christ, let God use you tonight. God has a place for you tonight. God wants to do something for you tonight. Lift your hands up and love Him tonight, will you? Give God a chance tonight. Give Him a chance tonight. Give Him a chance tonight in your heart. Let's just love Him, can you? Hallelujah.
In the shadows.
Let's praise Him tonight. A few days ago, I was in the church and the people got to praising God. And the Spirit of God fell. It must have lasted an hour or thereabout. People was praising God. I mean really praising God. And the Holy Ghost was present. I mean the real, genuine Spirit of God. And people were refreshed in the Lord. You're going to need that strength. I tell you tonight, you're going to need that strength. Remember what I'm telling you. You're going to need it. The days get darker. You say, Brother Pike, I don't have to have that spiritual strength. But I tell you, you do. You're going to have that help. You're going to need it. Some of the greatest men that ever lived are falling to the wayside. Some of the greatest women that ever lived are letting down their shield. They're stepping aside. They're getting bound hand and feet by the things of the world. You're going to need that help tonight. I ask you tonight not to trust in your own strength. We are they that have no confidence in the flesh, but we have confidence in God tonight. I want you to lift your hands up and I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight.
In the shadow.
Hallelujah. I want to pray for you tonight. I want God to do something for you tonight, friend. While we stand here, this is a great event. This is a great moment. I tell you in the name of the Lord, spiritual things are taking place. Maybe you're not able to see. I trust that you are tonight. But oh friend, if you don't see, remember great spiritual things are taking place tonight. We're here in the presence of the Almighty God. What a wonderful feeling. What a wonderful sight to stand here and see you with your hands lifted up. To see you praising God. To see you loving Jesus. What a wonderful sight tonight. Hallelujah. To know that you love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus?
Let go.
Don't you love Jesus?
And let
can you lift those hands up and love Him tonight?
His way.
If you'll believe tonight, I challenge you to believe tonight. God will do something for you. I challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to believe tonight. If you'll believe tonight, God will do something for you. If you'll let your spirit go out to God tonight and give God a chance in your heart, I promise you that God will do something special for you tonight. Now you say, Brother Pike, I just can't believe it. Why don't you give God a chance? Why don't you try God? Faith isn't that hard. You know, the devil tries to make faith seem like a hard thing. But, oh, friend, it's not hard. Glory to God, all you've got to do is believe tonight. Turn your faith over in the hands of God tonight. Believe tonight. Give God a chance. Try to believe. Have you ever tried to believe God? You know, a lot of people never have tried to believe God. You need to try to believe God tonight. Let's just lift our hands up and love Him tonight, friend. Can you? Hallelujah. Father, we love You tonight. Father, we give You praise and honor and glory tonight. I ask You to heal tonight, Father. Every person that's believing tonight, I ask You to heal tonight. I ask You to do something for them tonight, Father. May Thy Spirit move tonight and heal in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Shine.
Let's praise Him and love Him.
I can see.
last night.
I
made mention of somebody that had asked for our prayers. Somebody saw us, and it came up several people, and they said, I recognize you from TV, Brother Pye, and wanted our prayers. And I said, I'll pray. And that was a boy that was in intensive care. A boy that had spinal meningitis. We mentioned it last night in the service. And the boy was dying. He was in intensive care. Done got to where he couldn't even recognize his people, his relatives. Fever raging, and the doctors couldn't seem to do nothing for him. And in tears, as the tears filled the eyes, they asked for prayer. I prayed. The people of Little Bethlehem prayed. We prayed to God honestly, sincerely. And I said, God, I want you to help that boy. And I was going down to a brother's meeting down in St. Augustine, Florida. I was in the little coach. My daughter, Susie, was driving. I was back in the back, and I was praying to God. And I said, Father, I want you to do something for that boy. That boy, 17 years old. I said, he's dying. I said, he's got to have a touch from God. He's got to have help. And I asked God to do something for him. And as I prayed to God, I felt a victory. I felt Christ come down. As I felt the Spirit of God, that warm flow of heaven came down in my soul. And I said, God, I felt you healing. I felt you deliver him. I felt his healing. And brother, when we got back, they said that the boy was recovering. It only took maybe a week, a few days. And the boy was back at home. And now he's back at home having his 18th birthday. I believe today, God healed him. And the mother said, I know it's God. Said, if God heals my boy, said, it'll have to be God because the doctors can't do it. They come to their wits' end and said, I'll give God the glory. And she did when he was healed. We got a letter the other day from a TV program. And this woman said, we've been having trouble, some kind of heart condition. And she said, Brother Pike, you prayed for the people over the TV. And we do pray for them. And I feel the wonderful glory of God when we pray. I know that God's healed. And she said, Brother Pike, God healed me. Said, I went to the doctor. And the doctor said, you're healed. You don't have the condition anymore. And she said, I'm praising God for your prayers. Isn't that wonderful? God tonight wants you to pray. Because you can pray tonight and get in touch with God and help those that are without. Let's pray tonight. Let's lift our hands up. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray with you tonight. And let's believe God tonight. And let's ask God to do something special. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I want you to heal tonight, Father. I want you to heal in the name of Jesus tonight. May your Spirit, Father, come down and break every yoke tonight, God. May every person be healed tonight. May their bodies be free from affliction. May they be free from sin. May the deliverance of God be here tonight. I ask you to heal, Father. Lord, may every demon oppression move back tonight. May every spirit that's oppressing the people be taken away tonight.
Healing's what I want.
I'm asking you to heal. I'm asking you to deliver. Father, I'm asking you to save tonight. Every unsaved person tonight, I'm asking you to save them. Father, do something special in this meeting. May a great miracle take place tonight, Father, in the hearts and in the lives of the people, in the church and in the community, and in the area of Father, as your Spirit moves throughout this area of God. Lord, and may they see the wonderful goodness of God and realize your blessings and your strength tonight. I ask you to heal for Jesus' sake tonight. Can you love him and praise him tonight?
Deliverance, what I wanted from the Lord.